that are probably that you have to agree to, even if they're not in your best interest.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's interesting because I didn't learn about that till university.
And I find it funny that I've not learned about it still at university.
Yeah, especially because
with the UK being very involved.
Yeah.
And I do feel like, I don't know how it is for you in the US and your education, but I'm pretty sure that you will have a more well-rounded education than I do from high school, because from like the ages of like 12, we start narrowing our like education of what subjects you're taking to prepare you to get to university and only picking one subject.
Gotcha.
So that's from like the age of like 13. You are already starting to narrow.
Dang. That's so early. Why are you supposed to know what you want to do then?
Exactly. And this is where there's so many pitfalls in the UK education system and why so many people end up dropping out of degrees or like doing a degree and then finishing it, having a load of debt and then going into a completely different career field.
Yeah.
Because at 13, you do not know what you want to do. But like,
yeah,
it's only narrowed a little
bit. I'm 21. I don't know what I want to do.
Exactly. I'm still like torn between different ideas. But so I wonder if maybe because your education system is more well-rounded,
I mean, well-rounded is a strong term. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I say well-rounded in terms of like a breadth of subjects.
Yes.
Not necessarily what those subjects are teaching, but the breadth of subject.
Yes, because definitely coming to Canada has been very fun because we actually criticize the United States up here a lot in class. It's interesting. I mean, it's all through a very academic. We're using what we're learning to then look at examples in society, too. And right now, a very prime example is the United States. But yeah, so a lot of the things we say are like a little bit America washed. And there's things I didn't learn or didn't learn about the extent of the bad things that the states have done.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still in that process of learning. So that's been a bit of some self-discovery.
Yeah, I think I felt the exact same when I came over here and realized how sheltered it is to not only stay in one country, but like just how much you do not learn about your country's impact,
mm-hmm.
particularly the negative impact your country has had globally. Like, I dropped history when I was 13. So I do not have a very good historical background of the UK, let alone global scale. I've got, I would say, very basic historical knowledge. And I hadn't even... I knew we were involved in colonizing Canada. I did not know the lasting impact it had on Canada. I did not know any of the stuff to do with Indigenous Truth and Reconciliation and the Indigenous peoples and mm-hmm. the, like, impact it's had on them. None of that is spoken about. Even when I asked my friends that did take history further, none of that is spoken about like at all.
Yeah.
And so I find it quite interesting in that I will now also strongly encourage people to go abroad if you get the opportunity for a period of your life, because it is truly eye-opening seeing like the other side. Because even though like the states and like America is still very like, I'd say, same level of UK in terms of like westernized and values and stuff.
For sure.
There's a lot of separation in what you know.
For sure. Yeah. And I mean, especially now you see a lot of countries are trying to distance themselves mm-hmm. in many ways. Yeah. Something that I was thinking about. Oh gosh. My hamster fell off my wheel.
That is completely fine. I was thinking that you have just unloaded a lot of whether we should have a song break, because I feel like I've struggled to wrap my head around it and I've been researching this for today's episode. So have like a 3-minute break to mull over.
Yeah.
Everything Caelan has
for sure
spoken about.
Do
we want to play... I feel like we should either play the song that you brought to the table, a rap, or Michaela's song.
Yes. Let's play Hometown Hero. So this is a funny story. So I went to high school with this guy who ended up right out of high school starting a music video filming career.
That is so cool. He's one of like niche, man. I love
the
that.
Most successful people of our grade. He's a cool dude. I ran track with him. He was awesome. But I think what I appreciate about him is he's a very strong example of a lot of our teachers really didn't believe. He wouldn't always perform well in some of the classes, and as a result, they kind of were like, shunned him a little bit, but he is by far one of the most successful people in our grade. And he just is really good at things that we're not, are sitting in the classroom and taking notes on biology, you know?
Proof that academia is not the be-all and end-all.
Yeah, but basically, so this guy, the song is by Obla Reed, who is from Seattle, and the song is called Hometown Hero and is on his 2023 album, Linden Ave. Linden Ave is a street in Seattle that, it's a pretty busy street, and so it's well-known for a lot of the different things that happen at it, but it's just a good song, and I highly suggest go watch some of Obla Reed's, so it's O-B-L-E-R-E-E-D, go watch some of his music videos, because they are beautiful, and they remind me of home, so whenever I'm homesick, I'll go watch them.
All right. And stay tuned. We will be back for more chat on neoliberalism and society. Good.
Jump me at, told him run it back. Keep my old girl at the show, she ain't get her money back. Was a fun in that, now I'm beefing with God.
Actually, no.
And I'm smoking to see what this G's been on.
Yeah, that's more like it.
The only explainable reason is taking this long and I gotta refocus. Can I rely on the hocus and pocus? It's harder to breathe when I'm under this POTUS. And how do you win when it's money the motive? I started my learning after my diploma and all of these years spending under the bus. They asking, when will you make it? I'm raising my hand like I know it, I know it, I know it. What you do when the city of love don't love you back? What you do when the backs you got don't got your back? Put a pin in all of that effort trying to put your city on the map. Not the hero they wanted, but the hero they needed so bad.
I ain't Superman, I ain't bulletproof. I'ma tell the truth,
I be just like you.
I don't run the world, but a boy can dream. Just a underdog coming from the underneath.
Honestly, my roots deeper than motivational speakers. How come they making their meals and they suddenly don't wanna speak up? The people that meant to be heroes don't even wanna be heroes. Falling in love with the zeros. I ain't even know that the sand reversing that way, but I gotta get working today. Finally ran at emergency days. I got stomped out, rang out, dry. Still made rehearsal that day.
It's a bird, it's a plane, it's a moon. Feeling lost, I don't know what I'm gonna do right now. Set myself, I don't got no one to prove right now.
So why does it feel so high pressure?
Marvelous, overly confident, I leave the consequences to the copycats. Sacrifice skin on my back, how about you go copy that? All of your problems, you let that bottom, it's up and away. I caught up the mayor, I told him I got it, it's up and away.
I ain't Superman, I ain't bulletproof. I'ma tell the truth,
I be just like you.
I don't run the world, but a boy can dream. Just a underdog coming from the underneath.
Is Bird Note. This rollicking song belongs to a black-headed grosbeak. Like most birds, the male grosbeak begins singing in earnest a few days after reaching his traditional nesting grounds in spring. And like most birds, he sings frequently when trying to attract a mate. He'll sing a bit less while he and his mate incubate eggs, but pick up the pace again after the young hatch. By late summer, his singing will cease. Ever wonder how much a bird sings in one day? Some patient observers have shown that a typical songbird belts out its song between 1,000 and 2,500 times per day. Even though most bird songs last only a few seconds, that's a lot of warbling. On nights with a full moon, male sage thrashers have been known to proclaim their long-winded songs all night. But the North American record holder may well be the red-eyed vireo. One such vireo delivered its short song over 22,000 times in 10 hours. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
To listen to? Want to know about up-and-coming artists, albums, and more? Well, come hang out with me every Tuesday from 12 to 1. Raccoon City's where I'll be. Hope to see you there.
And we are back.
Hey.
Sociologic on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. And I'm Rebecca.
I'm Kaylin.
And you're tuned in probably just over halfway through our show, where we have been talking about neoliberalism and the International Monetary Fund. Is that that's what it's called? Yeah. And kind of its relations as well with the new right perspective, and how Kaylin and I have realized we have different educations when it comes to neoliberalism.
Mm-hmm.
Of our respective states and UK, I want to say cultures of, I don't know, growing
academia.
Yeah. Especially because these are two countries that have got very prominent history with neoliberalism.
Yeah. Moving forward for the next segment of our discussion, we're going to be turning a little bit, broadening the question a little bit, not necessarily sticking on neoliberalism, but in a more of a sociological take, how do political institutions, and I mean, we could stretch that to institutions in general, affect the lives of the people under them, and how does this promote or inhibit inequality and oppression?
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is very relevant right now.
No, yeah, definitely.
We have, I mean, has it ever not been relevant? It's always relevant. Mm-hmm. But yeah, do you want to start us off? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I think one very, I would say, relevant form that I, like, that first comes to mind when I think of political institutions that may oppress people is to do through censorship. And I think because we live in a world that's so heavily reliant on technology and the media, it's kind of easy or easier to be censored. I mean, a very strong example is China censors its country a lot more than a lot of other countries in the content that its citizens see.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't fit with how China runs its whole society. You see it through, like, they've got censorships on just, like, media searches and stuff, but as well, like, some movies will not be able to be seen in China. Like, they just never get released. People don't know that they exist.
So forth.
So I think that's a very, like, I don't want to say, like, obvious, but, like, a very clear one, because I feel like as well, media censorship and censorship in general is more on the rise. I think that people are struggling to find places to have their voices heard. I think another example would be like the ban on TikTok in the States as well.
That lasted for a whole 4 hours.
Yeah, and I know like people are talking that it might potentially come back as well. Like, who knows what's going on with that? But that's a form of like that kind of threat almost of like, well, we'll ban this app that so many of you use. So many of you rely on it as a form of income. So many of you use it to speak out on their stories, this, that, the other. I remember it was very big when Roe v. Wade happened. A lot of stuff went on TikTok for women speaking out on reproductive rights in the States. That censorship will, I think it will only be on the rise because we're so heavily in a technologically reliant world now.
For sure.
That the way that people can speak and the freedom of speech that they have the right to can very easily be manipulated and taken away when it's online.
For sure.
So yeah.
Yeah, I feel like, oh gosh. When talking about I had the thought and then I read a word and I was like, oh, now it's going in a different direction. But continuing on censorship, I feel like this also ties into fake news and the lack of reliability of different news and how everybody is consuming different news because of this increase in technological access. There's so many different news sites. People get their news from everywhere. They get it from social media, news, TV, other people, etc. The newspaper. And I think that a result of this lack of misinformation, something we've been discussing lately in my classes, is the lack discussions now. Fact is not the same anymore. The idea of fact, right now you'll go into a discussion with somebody and you won't necessarily always be on the same agreement of what is a fact. My fact can be different than your fact, and that seems, that's weird, because in the past, we've had agreements on what are facts and what aren't facts. But with this rise of misinformation, the belief of what is fact and what isn't fact can be contested. Because in any way, you can argue, I could be arguing that climate change is real, right? And somebody could argue that any source that I use to cite myself or to cite this idea is false and is based on nothing and is fake, and vice versa too. And so because of that, discussions aren't going anywhere, and that's why we see a lot of an increasing polarity in different political groups as a result of these lack. It's just there are discussions happening, but the discussions don't go anywhere because nobody can agree on what is true. And I think you can tie that into neoliberalism a little bit with this idea of each person. Neoliberalism is a very individualized, or it's very individualizing. There you go. Each person is seen as an actor in the market, and it is your job as an individual in a neoliberal society. All of the government has been, you've been freed from the government, the controls of the government, to then participate in that market, and it's your job to maximize your profits because of capitalism, right? Free market, free to participate in the market, yada, yada, yada. Because of that, everybody's thinking about themselves, et cetera, et cetera. And we talked a little bit about the idea of the do what you love mentality, like I was mentioning, where essentially this is, I don't remember what the word galvanized means, but it seems like it would go here. But I don't think that's actually where how galvanized
is. I feel like galvanized is, I want to say it's like something to do with torture, but I'm not sure. Shock or excite someone into taking action.
So basically this idea is held up on a pedestal of, it's important to be doing what you love, because then if you do what you love and you never work a day in your life, stuff like that. Steve Jobs is a good example of, yeah, this Apple is my passion. It was my little passion baby. Made it in my garage just because I loved what I do, which totally disregards all of the people that have been oppressed and are in horrible working conditions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, across the world, because it's all been displaced, because it's going to places where you can buy cheaper labor, in factories where people are being overworked, etc., horrible working conditions, yada, yada, yada. But because of the whole neoliberal idea of, like, I'm doing what I love, and so I'm doing all of this work as self-betterment, and that just can only be said by the elite that are able to choose these jobs that they love, and mm-hmm. everybody else is being so individualized that you can't. This kind of is going with the whole Marxist idea of the way to get rid of capitalism is for all the workers to unite and overthrow the bourgeoisie, which is those with who own the means of production. And then there's mm-hmm. the proletariat, who are the workers that only have their labor to sell. And so because of that, this idea of everybody being an individual, those workers aren't uniting. I can just be so focused on doing what I love that I am going to disregard everybody who's having a worse time, or all those mm-hmm. people who don't get to work for what they love, but also get to, but have to work because those jobs also need to be done. And this is not saying that you should not choose jobs that make you happy. It's just that you should also be aware of how that can affect the way you're looking at things and can put on a little bit of a rose-colored glasses. But this is like a prime example of how a political system plays into a system of oppression. Is neoliberalism puts in these ideas in your head of how to be a member of society and devalues all other ideas, but on the way leaves a lot of people behind and oppressed.
Yeah. My God. I feel like it's just like just in my brain. My brain is like, it's like 10 to 8, and it's just like, my brain is drooping.
Mm-hmm.
If I could like put it in an image, it's drooping.
It's some big stuff.
It is, and I think, look, I'm gonna say it again. I'm surprised that I haven't been taught this when I think that I'm doing a degree in sociology.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm doing a degree in sociology and criminology, in which case we talk a lot about political systems. We talk a lot about society and like how those political systems have played into certain theoretical frameworks and why that's related in certain like crime laws and crime rates and society mm-hmm. and social policy and blah, blah, blah. And yet this one is such a prominent one for right now. And hasn't been touched upon, and I'm meant to be like, a degree is kind of like first step into going into being an expert in the field if that's what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
That this seems like something important as a foundation
for sure
to like educated on.
Yes, I think I just want to touch on the thing because I feel like we've alluded to it, but just to connect the dots for those who are not connecting them. The reason we keep saying this is so relevant right now is because the Trump administration is a prime example of neoliberalism. You see it through DOGE, so Department of Government Efficiency, where a lot of human welfare and other organizations of the government are being defunded and de-employed. There's a lot of layoffs, etc. And the result of this is a self-fulfilling prophecy. DOGE is claiming that the government is inefficient and can't work, and now that they're firing lots of people, the government will not work and will be inefficient, therefore proving that they're correct. But there's this whole idea that populism and neoliberalism are totally different, but they have a lot of the very similar ideals, and neoliberalism or populism is just a different interpretation of neoliberalism that it aligns very similarly, where it's the defunding of welfare and the emphasis of the market, among many other things as well. But you see that very heavily and prevalently in the United States right now, where every deal internationally is centered around money and profit, and a lot of really important systems in the United States are being defunded and taken apart. I'd say, as an American, a lot of this is very hard to watch because I know a lot of work has gone in to try and make lives better for Americans and also around the world. However, we do not always do a great job of making the lives better, but you cannot lie that there are like positive impacts. I'd say how I kind of personally go about rectifying all of this in my brain is knowing that, one, this administration will not last forever, and two, by deconstructing all of these organizations, it leaves a lot of space to implement new ones that are better. We can move to a more decolonized government. There's a lot of ways, like I've seen some stuff about how DEI can be reconfigured to be actually a lot more helpful in inhibiting oppression and inequality, because as of now it was doing some, but it was a band-aid. All of these were band-aids, not
So you're saying it's kind of like, even though it's looking quite terrible right now, it can pave the way for things that were better than before that would be taken apart.
And that is very much, that is not to discount all of the harm that will be caused as a result of these. That is just in my day-to-day trying to not go crazy in front of my newsreels. Because you can only do so much.
That's what
I have to say about neoliberalism. It's interesting. Definitely look into it.
I definitely think I'm going to look into it a lot more. I can't lie.
You've heard the phrase Thatcher the milk snatcher?
Yes.
Yes. That's like a neoliberal policy.
Yeah, because the things I know about it is related to Thatcher and related to her deep-seated cuts into welfare systems. But that is like the extent of what I know, because it's like she was called like the witch, the Iron Lady, because of a kind of lack of compassion for those that were not as in privileged positions as the elite. And like the way that she fixed quote unquote, the UK economy was just by slashing welfare funds, essentially. But yeah, that was tonight's episode.
Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate you all.
Yes, as always, stay tuned as we have Bitcoover coming up next from 8 to 10 p.m. with our music coordinator, Connor. He was mentioning that it's a really cool interview that he did that is on today's episode for him. So definitely tune in and check that out. We will be back again next Tuesday, 7 to 8 p.m.
Tune in.
And stay tuned for whatever comes after Connor's show. I cannot remember. But the next song I want to play is by Michaela. It's a much slower song, but I find it really peaceful. And it's called With You off of her 2020 EP, Clean Slate. And I hope you all have a good rest of your evening and rest of your week.
Bye, y'all.
See ya. Somewhere